2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Out there to you. This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. You guys aren't a member with us. Make sure you join up with us. Use the promo code podcast. That'll get you 20% off each month. That brings your total to $16 a month to have access to our 24/7 Slack channel, just projections, and the soon coming domination station. So that is worth the $16 itself. Once again, that is DFSArmy.com with the promo code podcast. And that'll get you there. I am your host, the skipper of this damn ship, Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. And also in the cockpit, we got Keith Hall. You can find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. Now, before we begin the podcast, I think we got to do a little game of what would you do? So I got the big story last night was Derrick Rose. Well, I guess the second biggest story other than the national championship. Derrick Rose, so apparently just doesn't show up to the game, doesn't tell anybody he's not coming, and, you know, the Knicks just absolutely get waxed as a result. You know, in terms of fantasy purposes, we had no news of this. We didn't know that this was going to happen, so that certainly ruined a lot of people's lineups. But let's play the you are Derrick Rose game here, Keith. Is this all about getting benched in the fourth quarter of the last two games, or are you just a legit psychopath?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I hate to give Rajon Rondo credit, but at least he's handled it with a little bit of, you know, decency. He hasn't gone AWOL. I kind of relate Derrick Rose now to the modern-day Gomer Pyle of the NBA. Strong. I mean, you want to talk about somebody going AWOL, just fire up Full Metal Jacket and, you know, you've got Derrick Rose, you know, just substitute Derrick Rose for Gomer Pyle and you're good to go.
Sure. Yeah, that's just such a bizarre situation. And of course, you know, being in New York, it doesn't help. Like, I don't know if you're following the situation on Twitter last night, but all you had to do is type in Derrick Rose on the search bar and like 300 results would pop up every 30 seconds. So you get everybody's like conspiracy theories of what's going on and everything like that. But I mean, for a while, it looked pretty serious that, you know, something could be actually wrong with the guy. But, you know, the fact, you know, when Joakim Noah talked after the game, he sounded legit, like, depressed. So I don't know if Rose, like, tried to off himself or whatever the case is. But it looks like a totally weird situation. I mean, Rose, you know, now that he's okay, is, you know, understandably just getting blasted all over New York radio. I was listening to it last night before I went to bed and when I woke up today. So, you know, the town is not happy with the man, for, you know, as you can certainly understand, but definitely going to be interesting to hear more results and see how this whole situation plays out.
Yeah, let's be first to, you know, go ahead and throw this out there. We're glad that he's okay. Okay, we don't want anything to happen as far as, you know, losing one of our favorite punching bags in the NBA. Right. With that said, how do you show up to shoot around in the morning and then just, and if it's something like, oh, his family, you know, evidently the Knicks know what's going on, but they're not going to tell us. And who knows if they're ever going to give us a full story, but, you know, if it's something like, you know, oh, his kid was, you know, sick or, you know, something like that, then, you know, by all means, this is not warranted. But if it's just that you got pissed and you didn't want to show up and you're mad that a white boy from Wichita State was taking your closing minutes in an NBA basketball game. Grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You and Rajon Rondo need to just, you know, I mean, go have a siesta and just ride off into the sunset. You got your MVP. You're never going to win a championship. See ya.
Yeah. It appears that it's more of a him. Obviously we have no idea what the situation is, but to quote Ray Finkel's father in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, the engine's running, but no one's behind the wheel.
Who would you rather be right now? Okay. Rajon Rondo, who has one NBA championship, but legitimately nobody wants to play with you. Right. They've left you on the court as the guy that neither team wants to pick. In fact, I think a team will play shorthanded before they play with you. Or Derrick Rose.
Or they would pick the fat, smelly kid over him in the 5-on-5.
The fat, smelly, big, white guy. or Derrick Rose, who has an MVP, but was playing so badly because him and Carmelo were fighting over the ball so much that, you know, you've now pretty much alienated your whole team. How do you trust this guy to come back and play?
For real. And, you know, you saw what happened to the Knicks. I mean, number one, they had no information that this was going to happen last night. And then it just totally showed on the court. I mean, they got absolutely waxed by the Pelicans. You got Melo gets ejected from the game. And then he left the arena, I think, before it was even over. Or he left without talking to reporters, one of the two. But and then Kylo Quinn throws Anthony Davis into the 10th row. Like, it was just an absolute mess last night. And you got to put that all on Derrick Rose. I mean, you know, the Knicks haven't been doing that well, but that's a situation that where your head is just not in the game at all. And, you know, it was a very selfish move if, you know, he did this for himself, if it's something else. Again, I'm sure we're going to get some details at some point, but the fact that they couldn't get in touch with him at all during the day, I mean, we all have cell phones basically attached to our hip, so I'm sure he could have answered or something along those lines. And then also, too, before we get into the game breakdown, what a fantastic national championship game last night between Clemson and Alabama.
Oh, my God.
Right down to the wire. Awesome. One of the best of all time. Yes. And I got to tell you, I was not a big Deshaun Watson fan before last night, but I might be leading the charge to the NFL draft. I'm just saying. I was very impressed with him last night.
Yeah, there's we'll get into it when we'll have an NFL draft special when it gets a little bit closer. Just because we've got a platform to kind of voice our opinion and talk about some things, and it's not something that a lot of these sites do about guys that you want to watch going into the NFL draft. I don't know how big of a college football fan you are, but I know I'm a huge one because I live in the middle of college football country.
When DFS was around, I was a much bigger fan.
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those things that you want to, you know, from a fantasy football perspective, you really do kind of want to pay attention to. So there is that. It's going to be something that we're definitely going to need to put out a little bit of content for, because you're going to want to watch these guys. You're going to want to watch these guys going into the game and into the draft, because you could end up stealing some, especially if you're in Dynasty League. You could end up stealing some potential here, and really, really, really getting some good values. So it's something that we'll get into a little bit later, but right now it's I don't know about you, brother, but it's basketball and it's baseball prep. So
yes, indeed. All right, well, we do have 9 games on today's NBA slate, so let's just dig right in. We've got the Chicago Bulls at the Washington Wizards. Wizards opened up as 10-point favorites in this one, minus 750 currently on the money line. and an over-under of 204.5. Major news here with injuries. Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade are both out for this game. Wade, this was a planned night of rest for him. Jimmy Butler tried to give it a go last night, and the Bulls said, just go home, you sick fuck. He didn't even make a field goal in the game last night. First time since, I believe, 2013 that he hasn't had a field goal. Goal in a game, so that's pretty insane. Bulls are on the back end of a back-to-back here too, so back end of a back-to-back without their best two players, not looking like a good sign. Wizards have actually been pretty good in terms of Vegas favorites at home, especially. They are 13-7 against the spread at home, 11-8 as a favorite, and 10-4 as a home favorite, all scenarios where in which they are tonight. And not to mention, Wizards are 7-3 against the spread in their last 10 games. So, I guess let's start with the Bulls since we're going to have some pretty good value here. I mean, most people are going to look to Nikola Mirotic and Doug McDermott, even though they laid a big stinky last night. But a couple other players on the Bulls you could look at.
Yeah, there are. The question is where? For me, if I'm going anywhere on the Bulls, I might have been a day early on the plane. I was trying to get a little bit different last night with the qualifying entries that I threw in there. It's going to be Jerian Grant. He didn't have a bad game. I mean, he 11 points, 2 rebounds in 21 minutes. Not what I was looking for. I was looking for more along the lines of the 9, 3, and 6. I guess Rajon Rondo is supposed to play tonight. I'm still not going there. You know, you've got Denzel Valentine, who's supposed to play tonight. Thank you very much for muddying up the situation even more. You've got Doug McDermott, who literally put up the biggest stinker in the world. Of course, he was auto-fade when Jimmy Butler was announced in. And then you've got Nikola Mirotic, who had 3 points in the first half and then finished with 2.2 in the second half. So he turned over the ball. He literally turned over the ball more times than he had points. Now, he did get into some foul trouble, but, I mean, I don't know. Maybe a Taj Gibson, who's supposed to get some more minutes. He's under 5,000 on FanDuel. Maybe you can look to a Robin Lopez, who's, you know, playing 25 minutes, but he's not producing like he was earlier in the season. I mean, really, I don't really know of a lot. I mean, without knowing exactly, because there's not a huge sample size with all three of these guys off the court, so that's one of the biggest problems. So,
all right. Yeah, I mean, look, it could be an interesting way to go to, I mean, use a couple value plays here from the Bulls, but you're certainly going to run into some risk in terms of, you know, who that big guy is going to be. I mean, I don't necessarily have a preference. I mean, maybe Mirotic and McDermott for me, but again, I'm going to have to look into it a little deeper to see exactly where it's going to be because, you know, it's – They're not the only people in the scenario that are priced well and could play some big minutes. So we could definitely take a look there.
There's going to be value here. We just have no idea who it is yet.
Yay, my favorite. All right, for the Wizards here, I absolutely love John Wall tonight. Since the start of the new year, the Bulls have given up 60.8 FanDuel points to Kyle Lowry, 55.8 FanDuel points to Kemba Walker, 51.8 FanDuel points to Russell Westbrook last night. All that has to do with Michael Carter-Williams being the starting point guard in that span. You know, we've kind of seen Jerian Grant get minutes in there too now. So, you know, because MCW's defense is kind of becoming a liability. But regardless of the scenario, John Wall should be a lock for at least 45 points tonight in just a fantastic situation.
Yeah. The problem is he's priced where you need more than 45 points. So
why is it at least?
Yeah, I know. Don't get me wrong. I completely agree with you and I understand where you're coming from. The other question I have is Scott Brooks going to sit one of these guys? If he's not, then I have a little bit more interest, but I can't count on it. So
maybe Beal, since he's usually the one that, you know, is banged up.
Possibly.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even think about a scenario where the Wizards would sit, where any of the Wizards would sit, but interesting.
It's just kind of one of those things that, you know, you got to kind of think about on a night like tonight, so.
All right, fair enough. Now, Wall doesn't have the only good matchup. Let's say Nikola Mirotic gets the start at small forward tonight. I got tons of interest in Otto Porter, if that's the one who's going to be matched up against. Wherever, if Mirotic ends up getting the start tonight, whoever he's defending, I want a piece of that.
Oh, absolutely. Whether that be, I mean, I honestly, if you're making multiple lineups, don't mind taking like a Mirotić in one, or not a Mirotić, sorry, Porter in one and Markieff Morris in the other one. I just think you're going to want a piece of this. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Let's move along to our next game here. We've got the Boston Celtics traveling to Toronto. The Raptors, 4.5-point favorites there, -185 currently on the money line. And we've got a nice solid total of 218 in this one. Where are you looking here first? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. One bit of injury note, too. Avery Bradley is out tonight. He missed the last game with an Achilles injury. He will be out tonight.
Yeah, okay. First place I guess you got to go is Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart. People are probably not going to run a lot of double Boston quote unquote point guard in their lineups, but it's a place that you can really, really kind of go to. That's the first place I go. Jay Crowder, he's off the table until he actually figures out what the hell he wants to do with his basketball game. I'm so frustrated with him. I don't take a lot of people off the table a lot, but there are certain situations where I need to. And right now, Jay Crowder is out just because he's going to be paired up against Damari Carroll. And that's not a place I want to go. I guess you could go to Al Horford as well.
I like that.
And maybe even possibly a Kelly Olynyk. Possibly. And it's going to depend on what happens with the rest of the slate and where I feel it's comfortable. But I don't think we need to go there. But he is somebody that I'm going to have to do a little bit more looking into. Other than that, it's Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart, Amir Johnson, and Al Horford. So,
yes, indeed. Yeah, I think that Amir Johnson plays interesting. Power forwards always, you know, had a lot of great success against the Raptors this season. So I like that for a sneaky spot here. With the Raptors, Kyle Lowry has put up at least 47.3 FanDuel points in two of his last three games against the Celtics. He's been playing a ton of minutes lately and just absolutely crushing it as a result. He is certainly in play. And then, you know, DeMar DeRozan, I see popping up everywhere all over the internet today, you know, provides you a good spot. I mean, yeah, he's going to go be matched up against Marcus Smart, but I think it's an interesting play in the fact that, you know, people, you know, you'll probably have a lot of Harden ownership. I guess not as much Greek ownership since he's going against the Spurs, but DeRozan could be a nice player there at shooting guard.
Yeah, he could. It's kind of one of those things that, you know, he could be, but I don't know if I want to really, really, really go there with this one.
Yeah, his last three games against the Celtics, he hasn't topped 32 FanDuel points, so that kind of sucks. But, I mean, look, there's a high total on this game tonight. Celtics, not the same defensive team that they were last season, so I could certainly get used to this. Toronto, and so in terms of offensive efficiency, I think this is why we're seeing a high total tonight. You got the Raptors at second, Boston in seventh, so That's probably a big catalyst as to why we've got ourselves a high total in this one. So there are some interesting spread notes in this one that I completely forgot to mention at the beginning, but Celtics are 13-5-2 against the spread on the road. Celtics are 6-3-1 against the spread in their last 10 games. And for the Raptors, 16-10 against the spread as a favorite and 10-5 as a home favorite. So that's interesting. And the Raptors are 3-7 against the spread in their last 10 games. All in all, what that means, I just think we're going to see a close high-scoring game tonight, and that's fantastic for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, it sure is. I would much rather go with Lowry over DeMar DeRozan, but,
yeah.
I mean, I can't fault you for going with either one of those.
So. Another one play, I guess we could mention, Jonas Valanciunas. I wrote this over the weekend. He had an interesting, well, not him, that it wasn't him that had the interesting quote, but his coach, Dwayne Casey. And he says, you know, Valanciunas has been bugging me for more minutes down the stretch. He says, well, so I told him, you want to play down the stretch, you dominate. You know, that's how you get in the game. And he had a pretty decent performance on Saturday. Nothing too great. But, you know, again, we've seen centers do very well against the Celtics. So this could be a nice spot for him.
Yeah, it sure can.
All right. Let's get to the BK. The Hawks opened up as 6.5-point favorites. They are currently at 8 over the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Currently, the Hawks are -380 on the money line. And we've got a total of 214.5 on this one. A lot of bets coming in on the Hawks for this game, but I think the reason why you're seeing a somewhat decent total in this game, it's going to be the pace. Brooklyn runs the fastest in the NBA, while the Hawks run the 10th fastest. And then, you know, we talked about this a lot with the Nets being pretty good, you know, against the spread at home. They are 10-8. Against the spread at home, 18-15-2 is an underdog, 10-7 is a home dog. But, you know, typically I think, you know, when we've talked in the past, it's always been when Brooklyn's been a huge, like a double-digit underdog. But, you know, they're near it tonight as an 8-point dog. They should be able to keep it close in this one.
Yeah, they should. We would kind of think, but I'm not going anywhere on the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, I guess I can't really fault you if you want to go with a Kilpatrick or a Bogey, Bojan Bojanovic. But I just, nope. I'm done with the Nets.
Fair enough. A couple injury news notes here. Jeremy Lin is out for this one. He's missed the last 7 games with a hamstring injury. Trevor Booker's questionable. He left the last game with a hip injury, so there's that. I mean, Booker's not in.
That's the big one that we're going to have to watch out for. Because my whole stance could change if Trevor Booker's out.
Yeah, I mean, in that situation, Lopez might actually grab rebounds. I would be shocked if it happens. But, you know, I guess he could work, but like I really hate putting centers up against Dwight Howard. But, I mean, if he just pulls Howard out to the perimeter, he's going to have a field day with jumpers. And again, if the jumpers are working, yeah, it's going to be fine. But if the jump shot isn't working, which it usually doesn't, then, you know, what the hell? It doesn't even matter.
That's also going to take away from Howard's availability as well, because he's not going to be able to be around the rim to grab those rebounds and stuff like that. So.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, you talk about that. That's a good thing for Paul Millsap, who, you know, has a great matchup in this game. You know, if Howard's got to be more out on the perimeter, you're right. He's not going to be around there for the rebound. So that's where Millsap could kind of clean up. And then the Nets just released Anthony Bennett yesterday, or they put him on waivers, and then They signed Quincy Acey. I don't think he's going to get much run. So at the power forward position tonight, I guess we might see a lot of Justin Hamilton. He could be an interesting.
That's the name I've been hearing.
Yeah, he could be interesting if he gets that start at power forward, or you know he just gets more minutes as a result of it. Luis Scola is a guy that we've seen play minutes. I'm trying to figure this out, but you know one of the interesting things too. So if Hamilton plays or Hamilton gets that start at power forward, I mean we've seen the stretch bigs do very well against Paul Millsap. So I mean that could certainly be a name to look out for tonight.
You want to know what's funny? Is if you look at the defensive RPMs, Paul Millsap is number 4 overall.
Right. It's crazy. I mean, Kevin Love is number 8 amongst all power forwards, and, you know, he's gotten toasted before. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, just back to Hamilton real quick. Two of his last 3 games, he's put up at least 26 fantasy points. So, yeah, this could be a great spot for him.
Yep, sure could be.
All right. Anything on the Atlanta side of things that you're interested in?
No. Well, maybe a Tim Hardaway now that that this is all – this whole thing's all kind of come about. So maybe him, but other than that, no, not really.
He's regained his scoring touch lately, Hardaway, so good to see that. All right. Yeah, and, you know, another thing too to remember, Nets giving up most most points from behind the arc. So that would certainly work out well for Tim Hardaway Jr. All right, let's get to the Charlotte Hornets at the Houston Rockets. Rockets, 9.5-point favorites in this one, minus 500 on the money line currently. And we've got the highest total of the night here with a 225 mark. Kemba Walker going to be out for Nicholas Batum is going to be doubtful for this one. He missed the last game with a knee injury. And then we got Cody Zeller's questionable. He did return last game after missing the previous 3, but he's got that league-wide bug going on. What do you like here?
First place I'm going is Jeremy Lamb.
Yes.
If Nick Batum is out, it's funny because you would think that Kemba Walker's usage actually goes up with him out, and it actually goes down. So that's the first place I'm going. I'm off all the bigs for Charlotte, it's not a situation I like to pick on unless in certain matchups with it, but Jeremy Lamb's probably where I'm going to start. I guess you have to look at Kemba Walker, even though the home road splits are there. I guess you have to kind of look at him against Houston here, although he'll probably draw a lot of Patrick Beverley, which I'm not really liking the fact that I would have to pay $8,300 to get that exposure.
Right.
So it's pretty much Jeremy Lamb and nobody else.
For the Rockets, actually, what do you think about Frank Kaminsky in this match? I know you're saying you don't like the bigs, but again, in a faster-paced matchup, you'd probably expect to see him get more minutes instead of Roy Hibbert. And then, again, if Zeller's out, you know, we're going to see more there. So what do you think there?
Well, yeah, if Zeller's out, then, I mean, it kind of opens that up a little bit. But if Zeller plays again, then I'm really not there. You could really kind of see somebody kind of pick it up. You could see it being a Frank or a Marvin Williams type, but good luck trying to pick it.
Yes. All right, so let's get to the Rockets side of things. Clint Capella, he is out, missed the last 11 games with the leg injury, going to be out for a while. And then Eric Gordon is questionable with the toe injury that kind of popped up out of nowhere. So, if Gordon can't go, probably going to see some extra minutes from James Harden, which is always a good thing. Take that any day of the week. And typically, we've been able to, do this power forwards thing against the Hornets. I wasn't able to look it up yet, but I just wasn't sure if it's been dominating power forwards down low that have done the damage, or if it's been stretch fours. But you know, if you remember the DFS Army, we'll figure that out later. So and then you'll get the answer. But what do you like from the Rockets?
Obviously, James Harden. I really, really, really kind of like Patrick Beverley in this matchup. I think that with the fact that Kemba's going to be dominating a lot of the usage as far as the ball, I think he's in a prime matchup, and nobody likes playing him because he doesn't score a lot, but he does a lot on the other ends of the spectrum that helps you get what you need to get done for him to meet value. So he doesn't rely on his scoring to get to the value option.
Fair enough. Anything else?
Ryan Anderson, maybe. I know we pick on Charlotte with bigs, but I don't think I can go to the combination of Nene or Montrezl Harrell. I mean, Montrezl Harrell is now 5,300. And yeah, he's got 30 plus point upside. He could probably pay off his salary, but trying to figure out if he's going to do that or not is a...
a coin?
Yeah, exactly.
My favorite. All right, let's get to our next game here. And we just had some breaking injury news that pertains to this game. But I'll get to that in a second. We've got the Milwaukee Bucks at the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs, 10-point favorites here, minus 600 on the money line currently. And we've got a total of 202.5. Spurs have actually covered their last 8 home games. And they are 22-14-1 against the spread this season, 8-2 in their last 10 games. The big injury news that we just heard, LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be out for this game. Didn't even get a reason, but just know he's out. So that's certainly going to give a bump to guys like Pau Gasol, definitely Kawhi Leonard, possibly Tony Parker in the mix there. But which one do you have the most interest in, if any?
Well, if I know it didn't work out the last time we did it, but if LMA is out, then we go to Pau Gasol. So, Kawhi maybe in cash games. His price is getting down there a little bit. You're looking at 8,300. David Lee as well. If he is in, I know he missed the last game, I believe.
He's in tonight.
Last game, so he'll be in tonight. So I have interest.
I thought I saw a blurb about him being in.
He was dealing with a knee bruise. He should be good to go. And going up against Jabari Parker, not a bad little matchup there. He's one of those hustle guys, and he's min price, so I don't mind him in tournaments either.
Okay. Now we saw Dwayne Dedman actually put up 34.5 FanDuel points last night. He's listed as a center on FanDuel. I'm not sure his DK eligibility, but he could be an interesting play if, you know, they want to give more minutes to power forward, or, you know, just bring him into the game. But Dedman and Lee kind of, you know, they're weird. Like, they get good minutes, but I don't know. Like, they kind of cut into each other's production every now and again. I guess with Lee missing the last game, that's why we saw Dedman pop off for 34.5. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of those where I've got one play on the Bucks, and it's not even, well, I mean, I guess now with LMA out, I mean, I guess you could go to Jabari Parker. You're going to get him at lower ownership, which is good. I think he's a nice pivot, actually, off of Julius Randle as far as dollar per dollar. And to leverage the ownership play, I don't mind that there. We've seen big men going up against San Antonio that are able to kind of be more athletic than what they have success. But I have one other play from this game, and it's probably going to surprise you.
Brogdon?
Yep.
Yep.
So
no, it didn't surprise me.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is like we've been attacking Giannis over Harden all year because they seem to always play on the same slate. Well, they're on the same slate
again,
tonight, and we're not going to do that.
That's the first
tonight.
Thing I noticed today when I saw his name. I'm like, damn it, again these two.
Yeah, but we can. But this is one of those because I think Kawhi's probably going to be on Giannis. So
yeah, and but Giannis tonight. You know, he's still priced at, it's not exactly a cheap price tag. You know, he's going up against the NBA's number one defense tonight. He's also, dealing with that sick bug, so he may not be 100%. There are definitely some valid reasons for fading Antetokounmpo tonight. And today's Walsh's Way article, you're going to see a StatMuse graphic that shows exactly what Giannis has done up against the Spurs over the course of his career. His best performance, which was actually his last performance against them, he put up 41 FanDuel points. So, I'm not particularly eager to get this guy into my lineups tonight when, we got Harden, who's playing in the highest total of the night, which is certainly going to be an appealing draw. And, typically we go to Giannis over Harden for the savings, but tonight I don't think that it's a good night to do it. And it was 42.2 FanDuel points they scored against the Spurs in his last one. Still, that total right there, not at salary expectations of what he's priced at currently, so I would probably stay away from him. Jabari play is interesting. The Brogdon play is interesting. But, I have some big interest in Tony Parker. I know the Bucks have done pretty well against opposing point guards here over the last couple games. Brogdon comes from that tough, defensive-minded University of Virginia team. So, he's been a good addition for them. Look, Parker's still very cheap. He doesn't have to do much to hit value. Of course, he's going to see more usage now with Aldridge out of the lineup. So I think that's a very interesting way to go at the point guard position tonight as well. So, definitely give that a look. All right, and for our next game here, I think we got an upset alert. I'm calling it right now. We've got the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are 2-point favorites. They opened up at 2.5, but they are at 2 now. At the Utah Jazz, -130 on the money line are the Cavs, and we've got the lowest total on this slate at 200.5. So, why the upset? Well, just take a look at that spread, all right? The Cavs, 2-point favorites against anybody is kind of, it's fishy. The whole damn thing smells fishy. The fact that they're -130 on the money line is even more fishy. So I'm rocking Jazz in this one. And the Jazz haven't even been playing that well lately, so this makes it even more fishy. Jazz are actually 2-8 against the spread in their last 10 games. Absolutely terrible. The Cavs themselves have not covered their last four games. Cavs have actually been very bad against the spread in all their scenarios tonight. So 6-9 against the spread on the road, 14-15-2 as a favorite, and 5-6 as a road favorite. That has a little bit to do with it, but just looking at the spread here it's just disgusting to me. I'm all over the Jazz on this one if I'm a bettor. But we didn't come here for betting. We came here for fantasy purposes. Can you go back to Derek Favors tonight?
You could, I guess. I don't want to.
Oh, 4,500 still on FanDuel.
No, I get the reasoning behind it. I just don't.
While those two big idiots are going at each other all night?
Yeah, I just don't want to.
I don't want to do it.
I would rather go. There's another guy that we'll get to. That's $100 more.
Okay.
That I would rather go to. then I mean, Kevin Love's in play. I actually really kind of like the idea of stacking the big three in this game,
Oh no.
and
Oh
bringing
no.
it back with Gordon Hayward, in tournaments. Anytime I can get four quarters out of the big three, then I kind of like the idea. Maybe two of the three, maybe go with a LeBron and a Love. And then obviously if I do that, then Kyrie's going to go off. So, I mean, just because it's going to be low owned, nobody plays guys against the Utah Jazz, especially in Utah.
All right.
They should be well rested. Hopefully no bed bugs, got into Kyrie's bed and he wasn't haunted last night. So, yeah, I actually have a little bit of tournament interest in Cleveland here. Just those three.
Yeah, I mean, the point that you make is valid. I mean, you're going to get, Cleveland in very low ownership. I mean, just based on what this line is saying. Now, I know Cleveland plays in Portland tomorrow, so, whatever, that's there. But it is, a lot of this is just not looking good for the Cavs tonight. So I'm wondering if, Utah D's them up so good and, this turns into an ugly, low-scoring game. I mean, that's basically what Vegas is saying. I mean, every now and again, you'll see these low totals, pop off for some greatness. So you can't, take all of that to heart, but it certainly makes me look for the reasons why the Cavs are not a good option tonight.
Yeah, I just think
And
with the Cavs, though, it's so concentrated between those three that even in a close game, a lower scoring game, it's still gonna be, it still has a chance to be profitable, so.
yeah. That's interesting. All right, so we've nailed it down. You like the big three from Cleveland, but I think so. Just Hayward from Utah, you were saying?
Is George Hill gonna play?
I believe he's going to be in.
If George Hill is gonna play, then I have interest in George Hill.
Okay.
He's shown 45-point upside. He hasn't played a lot this year, but he's shown 45-point upside. He's only 6,500. He's going up against Kyrie Irving. I actually really like the idea of a game stack in this. So, let's just say for, shits and giggles and for, radio entertainment, we go Kyrie and Hill, and then we bring it back with LeBron and Hayward, and then we bring it back with Love and Favors. Okay. That leaves you 5,200 for two shooting guards and a center. That's not a bad tournament option. It's not a bad little lineup either. So,
That shit, Craig.
it's not something that I would, if you're rolling out one or two lineups, it's not something I would probably do. But if you're rolling out multiple tournament lineups, then a game stack of this game with a late night hammer, and just skip all the early BS except for maybe like James Harden or a Kyle Lowry, or Isaiah Thomas, then that could definitely be kind of a nice little tournament lineup, so.
Yeah, see, like one of the things I've been doing too is I've been kind of putting less money on the whole, like on the main slate, and then I'll just put more money going, breaking these slates down into two, three, four games, something along those lines. And it's actually worked very well. So, if people are having a tough time, like especially like nine games are kind of a lot to deal with tonight. So, when you break it down, so let's say I guess one of the express slates is going to be from 8 o'clock. I guess it would be from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, or maybe, yeah, that would probably be express two. So you'd have Charlotte, Houston, Milwaukee, San Antonio, Cleveland, Utah. Yeah, I mean a lot of the guys from that game they become a lot more interesting in that sense. So yeah, I know in the past we kind of haven't looked at it, you know, from like an express slate sort of view or anything like that. We've kind of always just taken it from a main slate, and maybe we poo-pooed, you know, some plays that we probably shouldn't have. But it's actually, I mean, it's been pretty profitable to play some of these express slates in the after hours.
Yeah, it sure has. You can really, really gain a lot of good plays and good tournament teams just by playing not only that, but playing the express lineups in the main slate. So we've seen it be profitable at times. I'm a firm believer that if you're rolling out multiple lineups, that you should at least do that in a couple different variations. Because, it's seriously, you can, anytime we have a larger slate on the board, how many times do you sit there and see people in Slack go, if I only would have played my late slate in the main yeah. slate, I would have crushed. And we've seen it to where, you know, the main slate, because everything's so diversified and so spread out, is actually outscored by the early slate or by the shorter slates, and it's because everything's so condensed. And I think that's, you know, you really, really, really have to, you know, a lot of people are like, well, if I would have just done this, and then they never think of it when they go back there. We're here to tell you that that is a viable strategy, and you should be doing it. If you are not doing it, then you are doing something wrong if you're building multiple tournament teams. So,
yeah, it's so funny. You'll sit there at the end of the night banging your head like, damn, man, like it scored more points than the overall. But again, too, when you have these fewer games, you just have less of a chance to screw up.
Not only that, but you're going to get some of these ownership percentages that you see in the larger slates, or in the express slates. You know, like you're going to see guys like Lou Williams at 35%, you know, or whatever. Yeah. You're not going to get him at 35% in the main slate. You know, so if you just work and maybe I'll do this for a week. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it for a week next week, and you know I'll run my main slate team. I'll run a couple main slate teams and put those in, or sorry, not main slate, but late slate, like the express slate, like the West Coast, because you know West Coast is a lot higher paced. I'll put those in the main slate and kind of report back on exactly what it is, and you know the comparable differences in ownership percentages and stuff. I'll do a little. I don't write a lot of articles, just because it's time consuming, and with a little munchkin and you know a family and everything, it's kind of difficult too. But I'll do that, and I think it's a way that we can attack something. You know, kind of going forward. So,
all right. Three more games left to go. Portland Trailblazers at Los Angeles Lakers. Blazers -2 favorites in this one, -130 on the money line, and we've got our second highest total of the night here with 222.5. Only injury news to note here: Larry Nance Jr. He's been out for the last 3 weeks, but I think he's approaching the fourth week of his 4-week recovery period. So that is of note, and not really too many interesting things here on the spread notes. I guess just one: Blazers are 8-13 against the spread on the road. But other than that, both sides are pretty even in terms of everything else. Where are you looking here first?
CJ McCollum is a little bit overpriced, I think he's a great tournament play, because nobody's...
You need to have someone co-sign for you if you want to own him tonight. Jesus Christ.
But nobody's going to own him. Yeah. Nobody's going to own him. And I understand that his numbers are, 3 out of the last 4 games, his numbers are without Damian Lillard, but still with that said, you're talking about a guy that is still the main part, one of the main keys of this offense. When Damian Lillard goes out, McCollum's going to run the one. That hasn't changed, and nor will it. You're paying a premium for him, but that premium is, I don't want to say well worth it, but it is definitely something that not a lot of people are going to do. So,
I dig. Yeah, I mean, look, Damian Lillard's back in the lineup now, and you know, I think he's still trying to figure out what exactly is going on with him right now. He does get this fantastic matchup against the Lakers. I mean, they just had the same matchup, you know, a couple days ago. Played 36 minutes, 21 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds. Decent. I mean, where do you rank him amongst all the point guards tonight?
Probably 4 or 5. Okay. I mean, it's going to be close between him and Kyrie, to be completely honest. You know, obviously you've got, you know, John Wall, Isaiah Thomas, you know, and it's going to be, you know, you've got Kyle Lowry, who's probably third on that list. It's close between him and Kyrie and Steph tonight. So, and they're all, I mean, obviously Kyrie's, if we're just going price sensitive, Kyrie would be ahead of the other two, but, you know, it's just kind of one of those things.
Okay. Let's get to the Mason Plumlee. You know, gonna have a great matchup inside against the Lakers. We've seen him do well in this matchup before, and you know, he's playing. He's a much better basketball player this season than he has been in the past. So I am certainly interested in him. But that $6,700 price tag over there on FanDuel got me like, whoa, I don't know. But, I mean, look, he's just been fairly consistent lately. So I think you're just, you know, you're paying up a little more for, you know, this little run of consistency that he's had. I could certainly go in that direction. Love my Dookies.
Yep. I can't forget about Al-Farouq Aminu either. He's better on the defensive end than people give him credit for, which is going to give us a little bit of an edge as far as tournament-wise because – I think I'm going to call the fade on Julius Randle tonight in tournaments and go from there just because of the fact that, you know, Al-Farouq Aminu is better. And, I mean, at the ownership percentage, you're going to see Julius Randle getting. He's going to play around 33, 34 minutes. He's not going to put up 40-plus fantasy points unless he gets Aminu into foul trouble or Aminu gets hurt. I mean, there's extenuating circumstances for anything. But out of the last 5 games, besides the Miami game, which just got out of hand really quick, and he only played 25 minutes, Portland is his lowest scoring game. And this is a team that we've been attacking power forwards against all season in the Portland Trail Blazers. But a lot of that time was because Al-Farouq Aminu was out of the lineup. So,
yeah. Hey, centers, power forwards, small forward, whatever. we've been targeting the Blazers all season. I do like that Aminu play. Was that the play over favors you were talking about?
It sure was.
I like it. I like it. I like that a lot. Yeah, I had Aminu on the after-hours slate on Sunday, and he was a man. It was good. It was good. All right, let's get to that Lakers side of thing. Been very impressed by the young Lakers lately, but I did see in their game before Sunday's game, they had the sideline reporter talking, and you know, he was saying, you know, Luke Walton finally starting to give these better Lakers players more minutes because they deserve it. I mean, you know, D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle have been fantastic lately, so that's why they've been getting more minutes. That's why you see Lou Williams playing fewer minutes. But I got a lot of interest in Julius Randle tonight. I mean, this guy's been playing so well lately. And, you know, look, when he's getting the minutes, I got no problem doing it. You know, we're going against the – well, I'm not going against them, but, the Lakers are going against Portland tonight. This is a fantastic matchup for Russell going up against the hobbled Lillard. In that last matchup, you only put up the 30.8. I'm willing to forgive him for that one. But, yeah, he's just been playing some great ball lately.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at, you know, Julius Randle, we just talked about his matchup with Alfred Camino. But D'Angelo Russell, he's been playing very, very, very well. It's basically relegated Jordan Clarkson to around 20 minutes a game. Nick Young has been actually playing pretty decently. Now, Nick Young's just basically a shooter. So if his shot is falling, then my God, does it fall. then again, when his shot isn't falling, my God, does he not fall.
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday and Friday.
Last two games.
Yeah, last three games, actually. Against Portland, it didn't either. I mean, he came out versus Memphis and literally put up 21 points in the first quarter and then finished with 23 because he went ice cold. I mean, he's not somebody that's going to give you a lot of the peripheral statistics. So I would rather go with Lou Williams. Alan Crabb's been playing a lot of minutes. I just saw that lately. You know, Lou Williams
had a fantastic shooting game.
Yeah, no kidding.
On Sunday.
So I'm probably off of the shooting guards for the Lakers just because Lou Williams probably only played 24 minutes. Right. You know, Nick Young's only going to play, you know, 25 minutes, if that. He might get closer to 30, but if his shot's not falling, then. You know, that's when Luke Walton will bring in Lou Williams. Then, of course, you got Jordan Clarkson, who's going to play closer to, you know, 25 minutes. He only played 10 minutes in that Miami game because him and Goran Dragic got kicked to the curb. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward now as far as Lakers are concerned. And, you know, I actually kind of like it. So it's something that we've been begging for all year long, and it's something now that we're just getting. So,
yeah, I don't mind. It's tough to, you know, look into exactly what some of these Lakers, you know, I guess side players are going to do. But Luol Deng still getting 30-plus minutes. He's interesting to be there. I mean, Timothy Mozgov's actually been playing kind of well lately at the center position. And, you know, he could pop off with a decent game every now and again against the Blazers. I think I might take that chance over, you know, anybody else that would have that opportunity. Believe me, it's a long shot. I'm fully aware, but, you know, he's got some decent upside in this matchup. But yeah, overall, probably going to be Russell, maybe Randle for the late slate. But I definitely agree with you there that Aminu, from a dollar per point perspective, is a much better play.
Yep.
All right. Two games left. We've got the Miami Heat at the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors, 16-point favorites in this one. Massive minus 3,500 favorites there on the money line currently, and we've got ourselves a 219 total in this game. Josh Richardson, doubtful for this one. He missed the last game with a foot injury, and Udonis Haslam is just old, shitty, and questionable with an illness, but that's it for the Heat, and nothing of note for the Warriors, and tonight is Andre Iguodala bobblehead doll night, so no dat.
Yep. I'm probably, I can't believe I'm going to say this. James Johnson is really, really, really kind of figuring himself to be a little interesting. He got teed up in that game against Miami. And then I was listening to the Lakers.
He got teed up in an inter-squad scrimmage?
Or no, in the game against the Lakers, I'm sorry. And I was watching that game, and they were talking about how he plays, they think he plays better mad. And so maybe he can play mad tonight.
Okay. Yeah, again, like, you know, we talked about this the last time we did a pod, and this guy's just a huge man, you know. So while I don't think he's going to see too much Draymond, especially if he's not starting. So, I mean, that's kind of a decent thing. Maybe he sees some Durant with the second unit there. But, yeah, I'm not, like, totally scared of this matchup. I mean, Miami's been getting blown out by shitty teams lately. So I can just imagine what the Warriors are going to do. However, you know, the Warriors have not been that great against the spread. You know, 9-10 there at home, 16-21-1 is a favorite. So this is the most surprising one. 9-10 is a home favorite against the spread, but that's because when they play shitty teams like the Heat, they're like minus 17 or minus 15.5 or 18 or whatever the case is. So it is a tough number to cover. But look, we're still seeing these Warriors guys play a ton of minutes, so you shouldn't have to be worried about them. But all in all, back to James Johnson. Yeah, I like that play tonight.
Yep. Obviously, you know, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, they're all three in play. I'm not playing Klay or Steph Curry tonight. I know it's a good matchup and everything, and, like, I'm not worried about that, but I think people are going to chase. I think his ownership's going to be a little bit higher than what it needs to be, and I really, really, really don't see this being a Steph going to go bonkers type night. I see it kind of going back to what we've seen all year, and it being a Draymond and Durant type of evening.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, look, the safest play for the Warriors is always going to be Kevin Durant. So, you know, he's put up at least 50 in his last three games. So, you know, I'm not surprised. It's just, you know, that's what it is.
He does what he do.
But yeah, look, against, you know, this is not the same Miami Heat team that, you know, we're used to in the past and playing great defense and whatnot. Like, they absolutely suck with everybody that they got in their lineup right now. So, yeah, again, I don't mind. Like, I'm not going to be going up in arms to make sure I have Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, guys like that. But yeah, sure, for the after hour slate, I like those plays. They're gonna put up a lot of points in the Heat tonight, that's for sure. And we know that they're not gonna get them down low with Whiteside back, so they're just gonna have to get it done shooting the ball.
Yep, exactly.
All right, last game of the night to get to, we got the Detroit Pistons at the Sacramento Kings. Kings 2-point favorites in this one, minus 130 on the money line. Fourth lowest total of the night with this one at 205. And in this game, nothing really interesting from the spread notes, but John Luer is going to be out for this game. He did injure his knee. That's going to put Tobias Harris back in the starting lineup, and that is where we do not like Tobias Harris.
Nope, that's where we pull on the full-on fade. We're going to get this question over under 5 times in Slack.
5.5.
Well, it's already happened once, so.
Oh, it's it? All right.
Yeah. So
but fair, and it's understandable. I mean, look, we've talked about this at great length that just because a guy is not in the starting lineup does not mean that he's dead. You know, more often than not, it depends with what kind of player it is. But we've seen guys like Tobias and Bojan Bogdanovic, even Monta Ellis at times this season do work with the second unit just because they're the star in that unit and they're not fighting for, you know, touches with the actual superstars on their team. So, it's going to, you know, you're not going to see Tobias Harris putting up all the shots like he usually does in the spot.
Exactly. I think this could be a KCP night, though.
Okay. I like that. Shooting guards against the Kings, I'm in.
I don't mind Reggie Jackson, but we gotta be careful. You don't want to have too much Detroit exposure here. They played double overtime just 2 days ago. I'm not playing Andre Drummond. You play 53 minutes. Yeah, no, thank you.
That was a weird set of circumstances because, number one, they have to stay in Portland the extra day because the game was supposed to be played on Saturday night. So they got snowed in, and I think they played in front of like 5,000 people on Sunday. The game goes to double overtime. And, you know, now they got to – I mean, it's not like it's a long trip or anything to Sacramento, but just a very weird set of circumstances for them. I could certainly see the Kings doing very well here. Look, Pistons are good on defense, but, again, you're dealing with a tired team. This could be a good game for Boogie, although I could see the Pistons doing a decent job of him on defense to cap off his ultra upside. But, we saw Rudy Gay do very well in the last game. He could be there. Darren Collison kind of has moved into that shooting guard area now for the Kings. So, you know, he's an interesting punt play at the point guard position. Then Garrett Temple's another guy who I'm probably going to use on the after-hour slate just to punt at the shooting guard position. Guy's still getting a ton of minutes despite not being in the starting lineup, but he can certainly work for that late slate.
Yep, absolutely. I don't mind Boogie here. I think he's going to have I think he could have a good game, but like you said, I think Detroit's going to have something up their sleeve to kind of stop Boogie tonight. And I think it's a play. Now, granted, this is tournaments only, and this is a play that could absolutely just not work out. But I'm fading Boogie because of the potential, not because I don't think he can't get 40, but I think the 55 plus is kind of capped tonight. And if I'm going to pay premium for somebody, I'm going to go to James Harden.
Yes, yes, indeed. That sounds like a much better time. And also, too, if you notice, Keith didn't tell you who that player was, but if you are a member of the DFS Army, you will get that play in the Slack chat later today. So,
yep,
definitely
sure will.
One of the perks of being involved. And again, if you want to get involved, DFSArmy.com, everything you need to sign up will be there. If you use the promo code podcast, you will get 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 a month. You get access to the Slack channel as well as Boomers Ballers which Keith puts out each day with the top 10 plays from each position. And then also our projection system done by the wonderful Mr. Scani. And those projections are going to be thrown into an NBA domination station here within the next week or two. So definitely want to be aboard for that.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. We are out of here. Tomorrow we have, only six games on tomorrow's slate. So that's pretty cool. Nice little quick pod for that one. And we'll see you guys then.
Absolutely. Let's make that money.
Yeah.